Greetings, this is James Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got quite a few things going on here today. A lot of interesting things happening, but we've got a panel up here, and we have the Laura Eisenhower Mini Conference with some wonderful speakers. And we're going to kind of do a little round table here and pass the baton around and have each person tell a little bit about themselves and what they do. And hopefully we keep it short and then open it up maybe for the crowd here to ask some questions about what's happening on the planet. There's a few announcements I need to make for the housekeeping section. Basically, remote transpersonal release sessions are available through October, and none in November, and restart in December, because I'll be out of here. I'll be in Mexico and Hawaii and a few other places. I'll be on the road. So this Wednesday, October 5th, Ashley will continue in her teleconference healing series at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you can check the website for details. The first three weekends in October are Skywatch weekends at ESETI, with a special volunteer weekend coming up in October 13th. So we're going to do a little Dharmageddon here, which we talked about earlier in the show. And if you want to skip Armageddon, you can come up here and do Dharmageddon and help get the ranch ready for winter. But anyway, that's a first. You heard it here. Heard here, he said, on As You Wish. The weekend of October 8th and 9th, I'll be part of an online experiencer webinar. And you can watch our newsletter for the updates and the links. And then Friday, October 14th, I'll be speaking at the Triad Theater in Yelm. And again, more information will be coming on that soon. October 29th through the November 22nd is the last workshop, and I'll be presenting this year with the Return of the Self-Mastery and Making Contact workshop at ESETI. And I'll be co-presenting with Tashina, and registration is now open. And Tashina actually lives on the reservation. She works with the Hopi elders, and right now she's at Standing Rock. And we'll get a major update on that. She's very, very instrumental in bringing in the right people to help, you know, stop this insane pipeline that's going on. But I'll be back also in Detroit November 4th through the 6th at the Awaken and Power Expo. So all this information you can check out at www.privateinvitationeseti.com. And if you want to register any of these upcoming events, you can go there as well. Again, it's www.privateinvitationeseti.com. If you have any questions, you can go to eseti2016@gmail.com. All right, housekeeping's over, so we can get into the other information going on. I'm going to kind of wing it, and I'm going to try to talk a little bit about some information that we're privy to that we've held back for quite some time. And it has to do with the Global Reset and the redemption funds and all the other things going on, and the Golden Dragon and the other events that we've been working hard on. And a lot of people don't realize that all of these funds have been blocked over and over and over by the powers that were. And now the powers that were are done, they're finished, they're out of the pitch now. There's nothing they can do to stop this. And everything's going live October 1st. So all along, I've been hearing a lot of websites talking about that, you know, it's done, the Republic is installed, and this and this and this and this. And it was far from being done. And the monies were hijacked, and all kinds of problems were happening. So we've been clearing the unseen negative influences around this and connecting people into their own higher selves and bringing in the lying beings and all these other beings to get this thing moving forward. And we've had quite a lot of success, not with a lot of blowback. So at ESETI, we've been dealing with the blowback of all kinds of crazy sorcerer energy, you know, serpent being, reptilian energy. Energies have been trying to stop this shift for quite some time. So when you move up the ladder of power and wealth, as you move up to the top, you know, you go beyond into the unseen energies, which end up to be energies that are not in our highest and best good, and we've been clearing that away so these things can go forward and happen. And now they're finally happening. So good news is, you know, we are going to be moving in, you know, out of enslavement into freedom and into a much more fair system. Eventually, we will evolve into a system where we won't have money at all. and we won't need money at all. We'll have replicators, you know, we'll have abundance, such abundance, you know, of free energy. All these things will be coming out, so a monetary system won't even be necessary. That's my goal eventually, to get to what the higher civilizations don't use money, you know, because there's no separation. You know, they're all operating community consciousness and universal law. So anyway, we've got it from the top down. We've got it from on the highest levels that this all finally is set. It's in place. They've moved the money back into the hands of where it should be, and it's all going to be start coming out, you know, this Monday. And so it'll be a lot of different phases of this as it comes out. So just be patient. It is going to unfold, and announcements will be made. Some announcements are already made about the yuan becoming, you know, a global currency, and the IMF and everything else. All those have been announced already. So, you know, these things are coming around. And, you know, just be patient, and you'll get whatever you need to get on with your mission and on with your work. Anyway, so that being said, I want to get to the panel here. We've got an incredible group here, and rather than going through each group, I'm just going to pass it on to my left, and have each person just say their name and then talk a little bit about the work that they do. And then we'll just pass it around the horn and we'll see where it goes from there. All right, so let's start off.
Hi, I am Leslie Hubbard, and I have been hearing about UFOs for about 55 years. And I grew up knowing about Commander Valiant Thor that showed up in front of President Eisenhower in 1958. And he stayed at the Pentagon for 3 years. And he was here to assist our planet of making it better. And the government did not agree with that, so he did leave after 3 years. He was not, the government thought that they had him contained in the Pentagon, but he wasn't, obviously. He was in and out of there all the time. They were doing different things with him and testing his suit and different things. They wanted knowledge from him of, you know, different things, but he wouldn't give them, you know, what they wanted, and you know, without the consent of just opening it up to the world and just like making a better place. So he left after 3 years, and while I was growing up, this conversation was our normal dinner time. You know, that's what we talked about: UFOs, Valiant Thor, Dr. Stranges, and my dad and Dr. Stranges were really good friends for 35 years, and ironically, they passed from this world within a month from each other after knowing each other for that long. And now I have the great blessing to have Valiant Thor as my spirit guide. And I have for my whole life, but now it is time for him to, you know, me to really start representing him and getting his word out. And so that's what I'm here for.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kendra Jonas. I'm friends with Laura Eisenhower, and it's been a wonderful experience to be here and be a presenter here for this shift. I recently published my book called The Link, and what it's about is it's a kind of a complex book, really, because it's a collaboration of my experiences as well as some downloaded information that I got from extraterrestrials and celestial beings. I was given these 7 principles of I Am that became the chapters of my book, and it's really been transformational for me and for some of the people in my life, so it's something that I feel is necessary to come out and share, especially during the transformational times we're going through right now. So it's just been a wonderful weekend, and I've really enjoyed being part of all this.
Thank you for having me. I'm Lori McDonald. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist out of Sacramento. I have been doing this for about 25 years, and I'm an abduction researcher. My book's coming out at the end of the year called The Extraterrestrial Interference. I've created five distinct categories for the types of experience that most people will have. And the last part of the book is a psychological profiling of said entities to help people transition into a higher, newer way of being as we move forward. I personally believe that we're at a monumental time in history. It's historic, and we need to get our shit together now.
What's the name of your book again?
The Extraterrestrial Interference.
Great. Awesome.
Hello, I'm Laura Magdalene Eisenhower, and was given this opportunity to host this weekend event, and I was just grateful to bring in these wonderful friends who just have amazing information and really just bring the energy to what this shift means with this sort of complementary information. I consider myself a global alchemist. I'm an intuitive astrologist and a whistleblower of the hidden Mars agenda, as I was recruited into all that in 2006. And so my goal is really to expose the hidden agendas and the things that took place in the Eisenhower administration that are beginning to need attention because of the danger of history being rewritten and some of these artificial timelines that are leading people down a road that is not authentic to the truth. And it's not about trying to just be in the history, it's about being in the embodiment and understanding what's been targeted and understanding the initiations we need to go through on a DNA level in order to really embody our highest purpose and just looking at, you know, where that has been compromised so that we can just really move forward in unity consciousness. And so I just in tremendous gratitude to Ascetti Ranch for just being so good to me over the years and for giving me this opportunity and to also bring in, you know, these amazing beings. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura, for inviting us here and having us here. My name is Adam Apollo, and my work is generally referred to by my students as training Jedi. I'm blessed to be a founder and faculty member of the Guardian Alliance Academy. And the work that we do there is about helping to uncover and unpack our deepest purpose in the world, finding our sovereignty, finding the gift of guardianship, and learning how to stand up for the rights, the sovereignty, and the purpose, not only ourselves to fulfill our missions, but for others so that they can fulfill theirs. I truly believe that every individual in this world and across the multiverse has a deep and significant gift and purpose to fulfill in this world, and that often it's only that their own resistance to themselves and the programs that they have taken on and accepted and agreed to are the only things that are blocking them from really fulfilling that gift and giving their deepest work to the world. I find that it's a really exciting time right now as real guardians and space holders are coming together, especially in the time of this great shift that James mentioned. I've been friends with Foster and Kimberly Gamble for years and been tracking the movements of these global financial shifts that are occurring. And as we move forward into this next phase, it's just more and more important that we have great ambassadors of truth to the world, because there's a lot of people waking up really fast. And as more and more people wake up, they need support, you know, they need community that they can go to, they need people they can connect with. And I deeply respect and honor the work that James is doing here at ESETI, the work Laura's doing in her travels, these other beautiful speakers that are here with us today, the work they're doing in the world, and just invite each of us to come into recognition that we have a purpose and we have a role to play in this great adventure. So I hope you'll step up to that role and embark on this adventure with us. And if you want to come train with us and develop some of your superhero skills, you can find us at guardian.is. Guardian is.
Awesome. Thank you. It's quite a panel here, and we've been kind of going over global events that are happening right now. And I want to just kind of go down the line here and just see which... one of the questions maybe we could each kind of touch on is, what do you think the most pressing thing right now on the planet that we need to deal with, and not, you know, what is the most challenge, what are the biggest challenges we have right now, but what any, do we have any solutions to deal with those challenges? So again, I'm going to pass the baton down over to the other end.
I think the most important thing that we need to do right now is being the truest and best soul person that we can be. Follow our heart. Be truthful to ourselves. And treat others the way you would like to be treated. Go to love and not fear. And I think that's, to me, that's the most. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of challenges happening right now. There's a lot of duality. A lot of things are coming to the surface for a lot of people. And I think that's a clearing that's going on right now that we are all faced with. And it's actually positive that this is happening because we're making room for something new, for something bigger. And when we really become the I as the I, when we look at ourselves and really look at what we can learn from each experience, what are the opportunities in any adversity, and when we heal those things, we're already in the path of ascension. So that's what I see happening right now. Even though there is some troubling times, we're starting to deal with it a lot easier.
Although there's a lot wrong with some of the people in the world, I think that there's also a lot of beauty and great things, and that we should pay attention to what's positive and healthy. But I think, honestly, that I think the human race needs to do some inner child work. I think that there's a bunch of people running around, they're full adults acting like teenagers, they haven't got a sense of themselves, they're stuck in some programming, they're not really sure what to do. Don't believe their intention is to do harm, but I think that they need to begin a path of self-development that should lead to self-acceptance. That will eventually will lead to self-mastery, then the self-actualization of how you're meant to live on the planet in harmony with each other and in nature. I think that the biggest responsibility right now is for us to start looking inside ourselves, looking intrinsically for the answers instead of looking at to the TV for somebody to tell you what you're supposed to feel, what you're supposed to eat, what you're supposed to look like. I think that we can move away from that. Things will naturally fall back into place. I truly believe that innately the human is a magnificent being and has enormous potential. Not right now, we're going to wake up a wee bit and begin to take care of that. I have faith.
All right, thank you.
I think it's incredibly important just to recognize ourselves as the most advanced technology and to really embrace the movement into these higher earth energies based on initiations that life is giving us organically, and to really, you know, trust nature and the medicine that it gives us and the holistic lifestyle that we can live that will help us to break out of the matrix program and how we've been taught to give our power away and how the answers are outside of us or it's up to some other leader besides ourselves to lead us into this new era. And if we can all just embrace that authentic path of more self-knowing and more self-awareness through doing the inner work, when we come together and unify, we're going to recognize that the spirit energy we hold and the oneness we hold, which is our diversity and harmony, is like an immune system that increases the vibration of the planet, which expels the parasitic forces or starves them. And then we recognize that, you know, it's been us all along. And in that knowingness, we begin to unfold into our multidimensional awareness, which will help us to really connect with our galactic family. With the sermon, because we've done the inner work and we know the traps.
Yeah, inner work, that is definitely number one. And dealing with inner child stuff and releasing grief, I think, are absolutely critical to our evolution and our movement into the next phase of life. I also feel strongly that technology can be a major aid in this transition. And there are a lot of people working on new energy systems out there, better and better replication systems through like molecular beam epitaxy and things like that, where we're actually starting to build molecules from scratch and able to begin developing things at a really high efficiency level. And I believe the third major technology piece is gravity drives when it comes to kind of the major pieces that will completely shift our experience on Earth. At the Awaken Power Expo in Detroit in November, I'm going to speak more on those particular technologies a lot and in depth. But one of the things that has come up for me that I've been working on the side for years and kind of tracking developments on involves understanding how important it is for us to have freedom and sovereignty in how we share our information with each other. You know, the internet was created for us to be able to exchange ideas and information in this incredibly free and beautiful way. And so much of our advancement in consciousness and technology and in society has occurred because of this incredible resource that we have to be able to access information. But right now, there's this great threat, which is that these megalithic corporate interests will basically take over the internet and own the data that's actually ours. That's our information to share, and it's our gifts to share with each other. When you sign into Facebook and share information with people through Facebook, through their terms of service, you basically signed over the rights for them to use that information in any way that they want to. And myself and many others who created Facebook pages early on and helped to build organizations, I helped to build Unify as an organization, and the Resonance Project Foundation, known as the Resonance Science Foundation now, and others on those platforms. And it was amazing how quickly our pages grew to having huge audiences of people that were really interested in hearing from us and getting the information we had to share. But overnight, Facebook pulled a bait and switch on everybody. And all of a sudden, just to reach 10% of our likes networks, we would have to pay $500 to do a single post on Facebook. And they cranked down these locks on everybody's communication on Facebook and set up protocols to be able to show or block any information that you post, pick any kind of sentence framing or hashtags, and control the flow of that information. And so no longer is that free information flow in our hands. So there are certain individuals and groups around the world, teams that I'm working with, and that are deeply, deeply working on and interested in creating a distributed web platform, distributed social systems for us to peer-to-peer share information with each other and with the world. And I think we all really need to get behind new methods and new mediums and new social structures for us to share our data. And that stuff is coming soon. So just be on the lookout for that, because we got to bail out of Facebook before, you know, it continues to control our entire social systems and structures.
All right, thank you, Adam. Yeah, there's some major legislation going on and things being signed over with the Facebook with our President Obama. And, you know, it's quite interesting. I think he's up for about 72 counts of treason right now, but we'll see how that unfolds when the Republic unfolds. But, you know, it's basically, it's our planet, it's our internet, it's our communication. We need to take it back and stand tall, you know, stand in our own divinity to make this happen. There's so many questions. I know what we could do is we've already done a few panels here where the audience got to ask some questions, and I think we can go back to that format, and if people didn't get any questions answered, or if you feel, you know, one of your other questions was really a good one and we might need to address it on the air, we can go back to the mic, to the panel. And what I'm going to do is, before people come up, I'm going to ask do one more round with the speakers, and then we'll open it up to the audience to ask any questions that they want. We're not set up, unfortunately, to take calls and to answer questions, and we're working on that process right now. We're lucky to just be alive right now because we had a weird pulse hit the ranch and kind of blew out some breakers, and none of our cell phones worked or anything. We've got that straightened out again, so we're back on the air. But eventually we'll get everything back up and running again. But the there are quite a few questions, and even if you have your own thing you want to talk about that's really important to you, just to give a quick talk, shout out about what, you know, again, what you think is really important for you to see happen to turn this plan around. And maybe we could talk about, you know, a few things like impeccable integrity and universal law and things that need to come into place and all about self-responsibility, you know, and stop allowing yourself to be programmed externally for everything. I mean, we're so programmed to look outside ourselves for everything. And it's going through every media, every billboard, every, you know, every show. It's crazy. You know, it's external, external, external. And very few people are bending people inward to make their own personal connection with God, Spirit, Creator, whatever you want to call it. And you know, we can talk about bringing out these new technologies, the healing technologies, the free energy and everything else. So whatever floats your boat, whatever you want to talk about, I'm going to pass it off to my left and go from there.
One of the things I do work with clients, and I've noticed that not very many people really look at themselves. They look at everybody else to rely on everybody else to make themselves happy, to have decisions made by other people. And a lot of them become unhappy in their own self because they're not making their own decisions. They're having to rely on other things to make them happy. They feel a hole in their heart, but they think something else is going to fill that hole. If you can imagine, right now, your eyeballs are looking out. Right now, I'm looking out into the room at the audience. But when you look at yourself, imagine your eyeballs turn into the inside of you and they actually look in you. Many people don't know even to make decisions because they're so controlled by many, everything. But when we decide to really make our own decisions, by our heartfelt decisions, and your body will talk to you, you'll know if you're making a good decision or not. And the more you look at yourself and heal yourself, which when you have pain inside of you, you need to really go to that pain and find out why. And that just looking at the pain, feeling the pain, understanding your heartache, it will tell you. But as that heals, you get more strength in yourself also, and not having to rely on everybody else. And when you really start doing this work, the inner work, the insight of you, then everything starts filling up in your own body, your own soul. You start coming alive. And when you fill up, it's just like a glass of water. If you keep pouring the cold water, you know, some water into a cup, and your body fills up, your soul fills up, it's great. Then after a while, the cup even gets so full, it starts overflowing. That goodness overflows onto other people. And it's effortlessly, because it comes from pureness. And when you look inside of yourself and work on you and forget everything else out there, it sounds selfish. And yes, we have to live our life. We have to do our daily things. But when you really start concentrating on yourself and making you happy, it's a wonderful place to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
It is about doing the internal work, totally. Because basically everything outside of us has pretty much been hijacked when we think about it. You know, our educational system, we know that we're our own best teachers and our own best learners, but there's somebody there telling us how to learn and what to think about. Our medical system is telling us how we're supposed to heal ourselves with these artificial pills and things that are really terrible for us, when everything we need to know is already out in nature, and all the ancient indigenous people knew this and were healing themselves just fine before, you know, Western medicine took over. I mean, there is a place for Western medicine, of course. I'm not trying to say everything is negative, but there's hijacking that's happened. Our political system, I mean, where did we come up with the idea that we need to be governed? I mean, we're a community. We're all a human species. Why do we feel that we need to even vote? I mean, we're giving permission for somebody to govern over us. So all this division and all of this separation is what's really keeping us in our left brain. And we all have within us something called Trinity consciousness, where when we feel stuck in the left brain, which is what the outside world tends to do with us or program us to do, we need to go to the right side of the brain and find the solutions and creative ideas and people that understand free energy and all of the other answers are right there at our disposal. There's an infinite creative world that exists outside of us in the ether, in the field, and in the source field. And when we do this, when we join both halves of our brain, now we're accessing our pineal gland. Now we're in full operation of our divine masculine and divine feminine, and then we engage our heart. And our heart is the last part of the Trinity, which is what we're all about. It's what unifies and connects us. So that's why looking somewhere else for the answers, you know, basically ourselves, we have the answers, our higher self has the answers, is the way to go, because otherwise we're listening to a hijacked system, basically.
Thank you. I'm going to digress for just a second and go back to the Facebook thing. About 20 months ago, Facebook turned my page over to the FBI, and the FBI turned my page over to Homeland Security. And I'm a permanent resident of the United States, and it was right before I was being called in to Homeland Security for an interview. And I just thought that that was totally wrong. They overstepped the bounds. It was completely unnecessary. So when they're censoring and then turning us in, and I believe it was because I posted something on GMOs stating that some scientists were saying that it's proven now that it causes cancer and tumors in both second and third generational offspring of humans and animals. So when we go to tell the truth and we get shot down all the time, it's really difficult. So on that point, it's about self-empowerment, but the appropriate level of power, a sovereign, true power. Self-empowerment is really difficult because society creates these conflicts and sends us double messages. For instance, they may tell me you don't have enough self-esteem, your confidence is low. So you build your esteem, you create confidence, and you begin to own some of the things that you're good at, and now you have an ego problem. So how can we please them? You know, so it gets very difficult. So we begin to move in one direction and get shot down, move into another direction and become ridiculed. Not on the note of being ridiculed, I just want to quickly say that I'm a part of the organization Free, the Edgar Mitchell Foundation into Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. And today, for the first time in history, they've created a Liberation Day. This is an opportunity, a sense of freedom for all experiencers of the extraterrestrial phenomena to come forth and share their experiences without ridicule, without judgment, but just in your own words, your own story, and just with your own experience, allowing yourself to speak the truth. Because once again, a person comes forward and expresses their experience, and now they're crazy, hallucinating, well, just pick a word, and it's not going to be a good one. But they've gone ahead and created a Liberation Day, so we're celebrating that today globally. I'm on their referral list for mental health, but I'm also, I'm a special consultant to the scientific community. And they work with Dr. Rudy Shields, who's an amazing physicist, and a plethora of other apprised scientists. So this is an opportunity, again, for growth. We're moving into a new way of being. But what it takes is a little bit of personal power and courage. Courage comes from the heart. Speak from the heart. Step into your truth. Don't worry about what other people think. 99% of the time, they're wrong anyway. Thank you.
Thank you.
Being born into a world of duality, it's important that we figure out how to integrate instead of choose sides, because the control system wants to push us to either extreme. We're easily controlled when we're on one side or the other, or we fear dark and we're only about the light, or we're not about the light and we're only about the dark. Even though we don't know these choices, there's unconscious things that we're doing where we don't even know what we're making an agreement to, because there's imposters that are disguising themselves as the light. So it's really important that we look at our own inner self and embrace all our aspects and get really familiar with those aspects so that no game can be played, nothing can hook in, and nothing can cause a rejection of any aspect of ourself, because we've already learned to love it. And that's what this inner work stuff is about, doing the shadow work. And, you know, really, when we talk about 5D ascension, and we're talking about, you know, moving into that, and what's been hijacked, we have to remember that it's our voice that's going to initiate the alchemy and the transformations, because we're energizing reality through our voice and our expression. And the best way to take down the control system is to liberate yourself and live and dance like nobody's watching, unless you really want people to watch you. Because the whole point is, it's not about what anybody thinks, you know? And it's also important to wear your heart on your sleeve. Think about all the people that fear telling somebody how much you really like them. But, you know, when it comes down to it and you set yourself free, does it matter what they think? This is a higher form of your own love, because there's something about them that is within you that you get to, you know, enjoy. And then it's up to everybody else to decide. So when you speak truth, you just look at it like you're in a parade throwing out, we'll make a granola instead of candy. And it's not up to us to decide or to jump off and see what people are doing with it, because it's going to be discouraging, because we'll feel judged, or they stomped on it, or they didn't even look at it, or we're being dismissed. Just keep moving forward. You just know you're a resource and that you're making a difference. You're planting seeds. And if they pull it out of their pocket a year from now, you did something great. And if they don't look at it at all, they had the opportunity, and you don't have to look back, because that was their free will choice.
Word. wait for applause. Yeah, Laura, so good and so true. The shadow work is really where it's at. I mean, digging in and finding the deepest, darkest, most terrifying places in ourselves and facing those aspects of ourselves, forgiving those aspects, clearing up the resentment, the regrets, the sense of rejection, boy, that just opens up some of the greatest gifts we have to give. And it takes a lot of courage to dig down in there and go deep and really look at ourselves and face all the aspects of our lives. And a lot of times that means not only facing the things we've dealt with in this life, but maybe things we've inherited through our ancestry, maybe things in our genetic lines, maybe things in our soul history. Maybe we were incarnated before this and we have done things and taken actions that we still have some intense emotions stored in our beings around. So exploring these aspects of ourselves is really critical, and I think that there's a lot of recovery going on right now where we're starting to really go back and go past the points in time where there have been major traumas and blocks where, you know, Christianity decided that any woman who, you know, studies herbalism is a witch and is going to burn her at the stake and, you know, kill her. And yet the woman had all of this amazing medicine for her community and was healing people and changing their lives. Some of the decisions made during the scientific revolution at different periods of time, you know, practically crucifying Copernicus for suggesting that the sun is the center of the solar system. There have been actions that have created resistance points in our flow through space-time over history. And when we go back and we start looking at some of the beautiful insights of the indigenous cultures and nations from around the world, we begin to look at some of the amazing philosophy that has existed for thousands of years in history, we find all of these amazing secrets and keys to our lives right now that are so valuable. They're not wiped away by the studies in science at all. And in fact, so much of what we're discovering in unified physics is pointing right back at the same insights that we've been holding so deeply in our hearts for thousands of years on this planet. And for me, one of those deepest insights is really accepting the ether. It's about coming to understand that we're immersed in an energy field with each other, and that our thoughts and our feelings have non-local effects, that we're naturally telepathic by nature, that we can commune with the spirit and the energy of nature. Whether you call it chi, or ki, or prana, or vital life force, or odic force, we are immersed in the quantum vacuum fluctuations, and there is so much energy to be had in that field. And I really feel that it's time for the academic establishment, the education establishment, to wake up and start telling the true story of our philosophy and science and our history as a being. We shouldn't have to dig so deeply ourselves to realize that the ether was well accepted right up to the time of Einstein. And Einstein's last papers, he clearly says that you can't have general relativity and the fabric and curvature of space-time without an underlying ether. This is in Einstein's own words, but who learns that in school? Mm-hmm. Who gets that from the academic world? It's not being shared with us. And I believe that there's probably some control reasons for that. So claiming our energy bodies, claiming our power, claiming that we are these immensely powerful beings with the capacity for non-local consciousness, for all of these amazing gifts that we have inside of us, reclaiming those powers is essential for us to really step up and take responsibility for our world as a whole.
All right, thank you, Adam. I want to comment a little bit about that. We started out with talking about impeccable integrity and how important that is right now to walk that talk, walk your talk on the planet right now. And what I found out, is we have to kind of reevaluate our lives with brutal honesty and, really take a good look at ourselves and say, does this work? Is this really serving me and humanity? Is this the old Cherokee saying, if it isn't good for everyone, it isn't good. We need to apply that to everything in our everyday lives. And I know myself, I've quit. I've tried to quit this program so many times. I go, I'm done. This is nuts. This is crazy. And I've walked out in the forest and took off for a while. And I said, okay, what do I really want to do? What brings me joy? And then I just really got centered back in. I said, well, what really brings me joy is seeing people make their own personal connection with God or spirit and heal. And then I get right back on track again, But there'll be times you just want to quit and you go, this is too much, this is insane, this is crazy, and it's okay to take a break. Even in relationships, it's okay to take a break for a little while and just say, okay, I just need some me time. I need to get back and remember who I am and things like that. We're going through that time where we're really being pressed to go within because the external world is collapsing. The world as we know it is collapsing. And a whole new world is coming in. It's a fourth and fifth and sixth dimensional world, depending on what you can align yourself with in your process. So we're all multidimensional beings. We exist on a vibrational continuum. At the core of everybody's being is this loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess. And that's our true nature. All this other stuff is just stuff. And we have a golden opportunity right now with all these energies coming in to reconnect with our core, the truth of our being, and let all this other stuff just fall away. It's not us. It's just stuff. So it's time, stop judging ourselves, forgive ourselves and others for, all these crazy events we've created in our lives and, get back into joy and start having fun. I wanted to open things up to the audience here. If the audience has any questions or anything that they'd like any one of us to cover here.
Hi, my name is Susie. I live in Bend, Oregon, and I want to thank you, James, for holding this event. Your study is absolutely amazing. I'm having an amazing time. My question is in regards to parenting and navigating the school system, and in specific, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and which myself and several family members have been diagnosed with. And I wonder what you all think of that diagnosis, and how does one navigate that in regards to also the school system? Thank you.
Can you tell me, just hang on for a second, can you tell me, like, was it dealing with the school system that gave you that, we don't even want to, let's not label it, let's just say that symptom that we're going to get rid of here really quick.
Actually, it's been my experience that I have found that almost every institutional organization that we've come up against has insisted upon diagnosing us and giving us a diagnosis even without us asking. One of the problems with getting the diagnosis of PTSD is that it leads to the other diagnosis of psychosis, psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
And then there seems to be a tendency to jumping towards schizophrenia and other things that just absolutely, to me, from my research seem unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
I will, without naming names, there are some organizations in the state of Oregon, which is the state I live in, that are very helpful. They're trying to be helpful. But the individuals that are involved with it have a tendency, in my opinion, to diagnose us.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not actually done any personal counseling with us or any real analysis or blood work or anything like this. Now, my background is the Neshoni School for Global Consciousness. So I feel a little bit targeted because when I talk about spiritual things or events that I might have been participating in, that I feel that I have to censor myself in order to protect myself and my children from the school system and from these helpful organizations. And I'm finding myself pretty stressed out from it, to be totally honest.
All right, so we're going to kind of cover just some of the abuse of the agencies and the school system and the trauma that's created around that, just so that the outside listeners can hear. And I don't know who wants to handle that. I'll start off on my left. Is anybody?
I'm happy to.
Go ahead.
Well, post-traumatic stress disorder, any organization or agency, their goal right now is to diagnose people with as many diseases as they can, to get them on as many pharmaceutical medications as they can so that they can control you as much as possible. But post-traumatic stress actually does exist when you have a trauma to the mind or the body. If it isn't worked out, it can have some residual effects. The body has a memory, just like the subconscious mind does. So the body holds memory. So there's some work that you can do. But as far as the school system goes, don't use it. Take your children out of school. And I took my son out of school, and I homeschooled him for his last part of high school. And he ended up doing post-college when he tested to enter college, because we taught him at home. So I wouldn't trust the school system, because we already know that the information they're giving is erroneous at best, and it's controlled. This is the thing. Don't let them take your power, and I wouldn't accept their diagnosis. And another thing people are dealing with is a post-abduction stress disorder. It's a new syndrome coined by Rose Hargrove. And so there's an accumulated effects on the mind and body, but there are ways to move through that quickly and efficiently, either through hypnotherapy or some other modality that can move right into the issue, reprogram, rewrite, or do whatever is necessary to help you heal and your children.
I don't like labels at all. Part of the waking up is realizing that all these labels are just crazy. I mean, every one of my children has been diagnosed with something. It's crazy. And you look at the spectrum of autism, You've got your Asperger's on one side, and you've got autism on the extreme other. And everybody in the middle, in the spectrum is considered having something wrong with them. These are people that are ingenious, that aren't learning from the traditional school system. They have gifts and abilities, and it's just like Lori McDonald said, you know, they're just trying to get people on pharmaceuticals. Our youngest son, extremely creative, the teacher said, well, because he's very social and he's very creative and he's not always paying attention to him, he must have ADHD, you know, and put him on meds, and then we get another teacher the next year who's completely a heart-based teacher, completely wonderful, and never even saw ADHD in my son. So, you know, you can't believe the labels, it's somebody's opinion. And aren't we all unique individuals? Isn't that what this is about? Why do we have to be lumped into some kind of category and feel like there's something wrong with us? We're all supposed to be unique and honored for who we are. So I say let the labels go. Honor the wounds, though, PTSD. I mean, the label of it is incorrect. It means there's something wrong with you when they give you that label. But, you know, love yourself. You've been through a lot. To me, having a PTSD means that you've earned your PhD in life. You've been through a lot, and you are a hero.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Thanks. I'm going to pass this down again. I just wanted to amazing comments. It's so amazing here because, you know, I want to jump and say something like this, and all I have to do is sit back, and everybody else is like one mind up here and saying everything I wanted to say, and then... It's so nice to see that happening right now, this one mind happening where we're all on the same page and in agreement about a lot of these things. It is crazy. I mean, they're starting to diagnose like kids that are 5 and 3 years old and trying to put them on drugs. They're coming up with these new diagnoses or new labels. It's just pure insanity. And I think the mothers just all got to band together and stand up and just say enough's enough. Fathers too, you know, just say we're not going there.
Oh man, getting started on the education system is like such a deep wormhole for me. Mm-hmm. My life has been dedicated to looking at the issues in the education system since I was in it. And built my first company around looking at how do we redefine how we learn and how we can support people in the self-discovery process. And there's a few things that I'll just offer is, you know, our system in the Western world, at least here in the United States, is the same exact design system that was designed to train blue-collar workers to work in factories. It's a very militarized system designed to create a, you know, a clear hierarchical structure. You listen to the teacher, you do what she says. You follow these orders, you do this. You go to your job, you follow what your boss says. You know, it's a very, very... disturbed system that is based in really in slavery. It reminds me of Nazi Germany. I was fortunate to have a few brilliant, amazing teachers who totally worked outside of the box and invited me to grow and explore in a lot of ways. And I realized that, you know, we each have an individual responsibility to make a difference in these kinds of systems. I hope that there's teachers listening to this because you have so much power to make change, and you have to stand up to your administration. You know, you have to stand up for your kids and for the rights of your kids. And it's critical that you inform yourself about issues in the pharmaceutical systems. It's critical that you inform yourself about alternative ways to address emotional challenges like grief and stresses that are created by life. There is so much amazing wealth of information out there on how we can deal with things like stress without reverting to medication. And we have to do that now. It's really, really critical. There are also so many great online schools and academies and online resources for learning out there. And I think that if communities really stay connected with each other and really engage with each other, then the kids should still be able to engage with the kids. Like, all the kids should have a social learning environment where they can come together, they can share, and they can learn, but they should be able to learn whatever they want. You know, look at what happened to the school system in Denmark. Like, they completely changed the entire game. They threw away all the old structures, they threw away all the old books, And they started every day with, what do you kids want to learn today? And now they're the top schools in the world. Completely transformed the game. They were one of the lowest rated schools in the world. Now they're the number one. And they give kids freedom all day long to explore what they want to learn. And the kids learn so much faster and so much better. So take learning into your own hands.
I absolutely agree. And I was a kid that was labeled, and I didn't do well in school, and I had the worst attendance. But I was educating myself in a way that I needed to in order to be able to do what I do. And I didn't care about the labels because, hey, put that aside because I'm going to do this anyway. But it didn't mean that I didn't feel, you know, a certain stigma attached to it at times. Things that are labeled, you know, are hidden gifts. So anytime somebody tells you something and you feel uncomfortable or you feel less than, then there's a hidden quality that you're going to bring to the surface that's going to change the planet. And so, I've had people read me and said they can't even believe how much trauma they see in me compared to even somebody that's been through something that you would think of as maybe a worse trauma, but it connects to past lives. The part of the inner work is recognizing, you know, where the boundaries need to be. What position was I in that situation, and what do I need to do with it in order to take it to the next level? Because it's a stuck energy and it's a repeating energy because it's connected to our nervous system. And our nervous system is also connected to our intuition, which is why kinesiology works, and the wisdom of our body can tell us what we need. So trauma is, you know, our chance to really listen to ourselves and say, you know what, I have a boundary to this. If you're saying that I'm less than, or you're invading my space or abusing me on any level, you just messed with the wrong person.
All right. You know, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the hour. I wish we had another hour to go here. You know, I always wonder about, I just don't understand why we jam our kids, you know, their heads full of recycled ignorance that we know is incorrect. And, and the history is his story, you know, as told by the victor. You know, what about the rest of the group there? So, you know, you hear a different story. Get out and talk to the elders of all the different cultures and you'll hear a whole different story. You know, and it doesn't jive with what you're being taught in school. But, I mean, to teach them this recycled ignorance and then drug them because they don't, you know, fit into that box, and it's just pure insanity. And I know advanced cultures, what they do is like Pleiadians, actually, at a very early age, they take the kids up on the beam ships and turn them into a light body, and they become one with Source. They have like a near-death experience, so they know they're one with everything, and they're adept enough or intuitive enough to know what that kid's unique soul purpose is. And so they give the kid everything it needs to evolve to its highest potential, and then he gives back to the whole because he knows he's one with nature, one with everyone, one with the whole. So that's something that we can do. We may not have beam ships yet, but they are coming, and we can move in that direction. But anyway, I want to thank everybody in the audience for coming to the show and everybody here on the panel. Thank you so much for coming to the show. I wish we weren't out of time, but unfortunately, we are out of time. So only advice I can give is stay in the heart, watch the skies, and take that impeccable integrity, that path of impeccable integrity, and try to operate in our universal law and don't do anything that you feel is not right in your heart. So anyway, have a great evening. This is James Gilliland with Edge Witch Talk Radio. Have a great evening. Good night.
Oh, I'm on the arms!